John's Gospel and chapter 3. Very well-known passage for us. Starting at verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God.
Thank you very much, Sue. And thank you, Abby, Matt, and Mandy, for sharing your testimonies and encouraging us with what God has been doing in your life. I thought it was appropriate on Halloween that we should think about the topic of light and darkness. The 31st of October, I actually thought AJ was wearing an Arsenal shirt as a kind of Halloween costume when I first rocked up at church. But I thought on Halloween, what better topic to think about than light and darkness? I wonder if you picked up on that in our passage that Sue just read to us. The couple on the screen are Jim and Katie Illingworth. They live in a beautiful modern apartment block in the trendy jewellery quarter of Birmingham city centre. But unfortunately for them and the other 100 flat owners in their block, their building has been wrapped in scaffolding and plastic sheeting for over 12 months, blocking out almost all the light into their home. I think it's to remove some kind of cladding. But they have said, kind of to the news agents and the journalists, they have said, we are cold, depressed, and they're even missing the view of the Birmingham skyline. Things are really bad for them. They've had enough, and we can empathize with this, they've had enough of life in the dark. They are eagerly waiting for light to come back into their world. Now, we might not live in a dark flat, but we do live in a dark world. We live in the dark. I once heard someone say, not everyone believes in God, but everyone believes in darkness. By which they meant, everyone believes in the problem of evil and the presence of evil in this world. The Bible often uses the language of darkness to communicate evil and wicked things. And I'm sure all of us have experienced that brutal reality of life in a dark world. We've maybe seen corruption that condemns others to poverty. We've seen selfishness that severs relationships. Racism that oppresses. Bullying that intimidates. Violence that wounds. Abuse that traumatizes. We've seen it and we know how dark it is. And the Bible is a book that's refreshingly realistic about the dark world we live in, and yet, fortunately, offering a genuine hope for a brighter future. You see, the Bible is a book about light and darkness. At the very beginning of the Bible, we get to hear God's first recorded words. Page 1, sentence 3, God says, let there be light.
Let there be light, let it shine in the darkness. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. That was the very first thing on God's priority list at the start of creation, to separate light from darkness, to bring light into the world. And at the very end of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 21, the second to last page, we read of the place where followers of Jesus will live forever with Jesus, described as a city that doesn't need any moon or sun or stars, because the glory of God, that is the presence of God, will be its light. And the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God, will be the lamp. You see, the Bible begins with light, it ends with light, and in the middle, it is refreshingly realistic about the darkness we encounter in the meantime. God creates the world. He says, let there be light. And yet he's barely had time to sit back and admire his creation before Adam and Eve cut themselves off from the light giver and the life giver. They disregard the instructions of their life giver and light giver. It's an act a bit like an intensive care patient unplugging themselves from the machine that's keeping them alive in the name of freedom to do what they want to do. And that one act of Adam and Eve rejecting the instructions of their life giver plunged the whole of mankind into spiritual darkness and doomed humanity into a pattern of rejecting the God that's made us, turning our back on God in an attitude that the Bible calls sin. And so as a result, all of us have grown up in a world full of darkness. And despite the horrors that lurk here, we've kind of got used to it. We've acclimatized, so it's become our natural environment, our native habitat. It's all we've ever known. I wonder if you would describe yourself as photophobic, by which I don't mean do you hate having selfies, but are you afraid of the light? Sure, many of us are afraid of the dark, but there is a medical term, photophobia, which refers to people for one reason or another who are intolerant or highly sensitive towards light. And in that reading Sue just brought to us, the Apostle John says that in a spiritual sense, we are all a little bit photophobic. We're afraid to live in the light. We have more in common with bats and owls and hedgehogs than we think, because we naturally prefer darkness to light. If you've got a Bible still open, have a look at verse 19 and 20 of that reading. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. Why would anyone prefer living in darkness to living in light? Well, the answer John gives is that the darkness offers a place to hide. We don't want to be seen for who we are. We don't want our greatest regrets, our most shameful actions, our deepest secrets to be exposed. Maybe you've thought to yourself at some time or another, why is there so much bleak stuff in our world? Maybe your instinct is to blame God. What is he playing at, allowing these things to happen? But the Bible's answer to that question, why is the world so dark, is very simplistically that all of us choose darkness over light by default. And so the shock, the Bible says, is not that someone has come into our lives and put plastic sheeting all around us to stop the light getting in. It's that actually we've boarded up the windows from the inside to block out the light from reaching us. John says we've taken shelter in the dark. And what he means by that is that sin and evil isn't just a problem out there, external to us, that sometimes collides and impacts our life. It is a problem in here, in our hearts and minds. Yes, we are victims of evil and wicked things done to us, but we too are guilty of carrying out deeds of darkness, of selfish, unkind, dishonest actions that displease our Maker. Our own conscience testifies that if God does exist, he wouldn't be happy with some of the things we've done. And so we kind of convince ourselves that we're safer in the dark. We're better off in the dark. No one can judge me. No one can see me. I'm not on God's radar screen as long as I keep my head down in the dark. And yet buried away in those verses, John warns us that God sees plainly what is done, whether that's done in the light or the dark. But the good news of Christianity, the good news of this passage, is that none of us have to stay in this darkness. Safety is found by coming into the light. The good news of Christianity is that we don't have to stay in this dark world which doesn't satisfy, which is cold, lonely, depressing, and impossible to navigate your own way out from. The good news of Christianity is that Jesus enters our darkness. Jesus enters our darkness, and he enters our darkness to lead us out, to scoop us up and put us onto an evacuation flight to his kingdom of light, to be with him forever. The good news of Christianity is that Jesus enters our dark world. Speaking of the birth of the Lord Jesus, the Apostle John says at the start of his book, "In him was life, and that life was the light of mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Speaking of Jesus, he says, "The true light that gives light to the world was coming into the world." So God takes a step back. He surveys his creation and all the deeds done in darkness. He sees all that people have done. All the people who've ignored him, run from him, mocked him, rejected him. And what does he do? He sends his own son to enter our darkness, to show us the way back to God, to be the light who leads the way back to God. Jesus himself says, "I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me shall stay in darkness." Wonderful to hear three testimonies about how God has taken individuals who were, spiritually speaking, in the dark and brought them into the light, into relationship with Jesus. When Jesus came to earth, he declared an amnesty for anyone living in darkness. He says, "If you're prepared to listen to me, to believe in me, you don't need to hide in the dark anymore. Come into the light." That is why we get at the start of our passage the most famous verse in the Bible: "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever you are, whoever believes in him shall not perish, shall not die in the dark, shall not face an eternity in the dark, but have eternal life in the light." And so if you are willing to tonight put your trust in Jesus, you don't need to be fearful of the consequences. You don't need to fear condemnation from God. Instead, you will receive a warm embrace as you step into the light. Jesus enters our darkness, not on a search and destroy mission to hunt down rebels and take them out like a sniper, but he enters on a rescue mission to seek and save lost people in the dark who can't find their own way to God. He comes to seek and save and bring us into the light. Jesus enters our darkness. But to bring us with him back into the light, Jesus himself needs to experience the darkness of this world. Jesus is the creator of the universe, the king of the world, and he comes into his creation not as a kind of stately royal visit, but to experience our darkness to the full. who suffered the most wicked and extreme acts of human barbarism. Mocking, opposition, insulting, smearing, torture, and ultimately his agonizing crucifixion on the cross as he slowly suffocates to death in agony. We're told in Mark's gospel that at the time when Jesus dies, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. From midday till 3 p.m., darkness covered the land. And the Bible writers make clear this is no eclipse, this is no coincidence. 3 physical hours of darkness in the middle of the day represent God's anger at our dark deeds. But it's anger that is not directed at us, it is diverted onto God's Son, Jesus. It's a glimpse of the kind of consequences of a world spending a lifetime living in darkness. As the whole of the area around the cross goes pitch black in the middle of the day at the time Jesus dies. As if God is saying there is no darkness imaginable deeper than Jesus bearing the weight of our dark deeds on his shoulders. As Jesus willingly goes through with this rescue mission that he knew would involve him dying so that he could absorb death's sting for us. A bit like sucking the poison out of a scorpion's tail, Jesus absorbs the penalty we deserve for all our deeds done in darkness on himself as he dies on the cross. The darkest stains that we can never remove from our soul, Jesus washes them clean as he dies in our place on the cross. Jesus enters our darkness. Jesus experiences our darkness. And lastly, Jesus overcomes our darkness. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus and darkness, light and darkness in the Bible, are not two kind of equal but opposite forces. Jesus' death shows that he is so much more powerful than darkness. Jesus didn't stay dead. 3 days later, he rose up from the grave, showing once and for all his power over death, over the devil, and over all forms of darkness. Jesus bursts out the tomb on Easter morning, showing that light, the light of the world, is more powerful than darkness. Jesus himself said elsewhere, "Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." That is why Jesus is the light of the world. Because he can offer anyone, he can offer you an end to darkness and a future in the light. Sometimes life for us can feel like living in a dark box because we ourselves have shut the light out of the world. We've separated ourselves, we've disconnected the switch to the giver of light. We've boarded up the window so that we can convince ourselves that freedom is found in the dark. And yet we're cold, alone, and we can't find the way out. And to us, to you today, Jesus says, "Follow me. Come to me and I will lead you out the darkness." You don't need to navigate this dark world on your own. Today, Jesus offers you a way out of the darkness, the promise of life beyond the grave, eternal life in eternal light. I wonder, how does that sound to you on a dark, wet autumn evening? Whoever follows, Jesus says, whoever follows will have the light of life. And when Jesus says whoever, he means whoever. Whatever you've done, whatever ghosts of your past haunt you, Jesus says, come to me and you will find forgiveness and life in the light. Jesus won't be shocked by any deed of darkness you've done in your past. He stands ready to forgive you, to pay for that himself on the cross, and to give you new life in eternal light. And so the invitation that Jesus offers to each person here today, each person watching online, is to come into the light. We've grown up in darkness. We find kind of ourselves defaulting to the darkness, and yet Jesus says, I've entered your darkness, I've experienced your darkness, I've overcome your darkness. Come into the light. Live with me as your light and savior. And you don't need to live in the dark anymore. Come into the light and find life with Jesus this evening. If you'd like to know more about how to do that, come and speak to me afterwards. I'd love to chat to you. But let me pray now that we would live in the light with the Lord Jesus. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the testimonies we've heard this evening of how you've been working in individuals' life. And we pray that for each of us here today, we would see that living in the light is so much better than hiding in the dark. Help us to come into the light and meet the Lord Jesus, knowing that we don't need to fear his reaction to us and what we've done, but knowing that we'll be welcomed, embraced, forgiven, and given an eternal future with eternal life in eternal light. Thank you that Christ Jesus has overcome the darkness of this world. Help us to believe that today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.